Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Well, that's with John and Bell, along with AJ this morning. No Lance. Lance is on his way to Dallas. He'll be coming from there tomorrow with us here, but he's traveling today. So he has the day off. It's me, Del, and AJ this morning. Boys, how you doing? All good? Let's get going with the Astros. Man, you get swept by Cleveland. I saw in the notes, did you put that in there, Del, that they did something that nobody's done since 2012?
I did, if AI overview is to be believed. The last time a team got swept by a team coming off a 10-game losing streak or more was 2012.
2012, a team gets swept by a team coming off a 10-game losing streak.
Yes, yeah. It happened in 2012. The Giants were swept by the Rockies after the Rockies lost 11 in a row.
Kind of sucks. But, you know, Walter didn't pitch bad. He actually pitched pretty good. He gave up the two bombs in the first inning. Other than that, he settled in. The Astros, again, were terrible with runners in scoring position. 1-for-8, I believe, last night. They just didn't come up with the big hits. I guess you could have won. You're down 4-0, and then you finally come up with a couple of hits late. That was just a crap series. Throw that one away. It's gone. Forget about it. And you got another injury. You got the same injury. Only Jake Myers thought he was coming. What is it with Astros trainers letting guys do stuff when they're not ready? Okay, Jake obviously, and this has got to be on Jake too. He obviously convinced them that he was okay, that he could play, and on his way jogging out to center field, all of a sudden before the game, he's sitting there and he's hurt worse than he was before. I think he's hurt worse. Listen to this, Del. I don't know if you've heard this. Listen to this encounter with the media after the game by Jake Myers. Listen to this. Play the whole thing. Play the whole thing. Put the question in there, AJ. Yeah. here is after the game. Jake Myers, who didn't play because jogging out to center field before the game, he's comes up lame. They're out there talking to him, and he's got to walk off the field. And by the way, his walk off the field looked like worse than any time we saw him before this. Okay? That was just jogging out to center field. This is what that Jake Myers couldn't get out to center field to play center field. Here is the exchange with the media.
Just the worst
thing. Not going into that. That's all I got.
It's hard to hear there. He was asked, "Is this worse than it was before? Is this the worst it is that it's been?" And he just went, Do the Astros doctors or trainers have someone in Jake's family tied up somewhere?
What do you mean? Do you think Jake didn't answer the question because there's a gun to someone's head and a newspaper next to
them? We don't know. You don't know. You don't know. Okay.
Well, the visual of him, because for people who didn't see, maybe you didn't tune into the game till later, because who expects a debilitating injury to happen as soon before first pitch? He limps to – he doesn't even limp back to the dugout. He limps to the outfield wall, and he's taken back on a cart, and his head is in his hands. And, of course, because anytime you hear calf injury, people are like, oh, Achilles, Achilles. I don't know that that's the case, but Jake Meyers was distraught. It seemed from his reaction that maybe it's simply frustration, but that the calf is in a worse spot than it was when he initially got hurt. I don't believe anyone in Jacob Berkshire Myers' family, yes, that's his full name, Myers' family, is currently being held at gunpoint by the Astros. But this return to play thing that they can't figure out, there has to be something to look into. Because I saw, because people have this information, there was a tweet out, I think from maybe Adam Spillane, I don't remember exactly, that James Click, before he was fired, wanted an investigation into the Astros' return to play policy. He wasn't fired because of that, but he was fired, and then nothing was ever done to really look into it. There appears to be something missing, whether it be trusting the player too much or incompetence by the trainers, because this happens way too often.
It's ridiculous. It's to the point of it's ridiculous now. Jordan swinging a bat when he's got a fracture in his hand. And then he's hurt, and he's still not back. You're letting him go. Jake Meyers jogging out to center field, can't even make it to his position, and he's on the ground, and they have to attend to him. And then yeah, he goes by the wagon wheel, the wagon gate, whatever that is. When asked, is it worth? Boy, there. I don't know if it's their incompetence or their policies regarding regarding injuries is almost comical now. It's almost comical now that if a guy is hurt in any way, shape, or form, you know that they're going to blunder it.
Do you think in their guidelines it says rub some dirt on it, and that's their guideline for return to play? Like, no matter how hurt you are, hey, just rub some dirt on that thing and get back out there.
Player said he's okay. Put him out there.
Yeah,
let's go.
Get some of the whatever you need to do to get yourself ready. Get on out there. We need you. I can't think of anything else besides, hey, if the guy says he can go, he can go, and then they keep it moving. Which
we need more guys like Zion. Okay.
Well, not exactly like.
No.
Zion.
Yeah. I ain't playing until I'm 100. I just don't feel like Zion right now. I ain't going to play in the playoffs.
Okay, like you're keeping it strictly to what Zion does on the court or does not do on the court. Because there's another part of Zion that I don't want any of the players emulating.
Well, no. Well, there's a couple of parts. First of all, well, Puddin, he got a little heavy too, right?
Well, that's Chaz's role. He is the Zion of the
By the way, Chaz is really tearing it up.
I saw that.
He's got eight
Yeah.
He's 0-for with 8 strikeouts.
Mm-hmm. He's working his way back, John. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, no. He probably right now in some kind of chamber going, oh, my God, why did they send me back out there? Why? I can't play.
You think he's in some type of deprivation chamber?
I don't know. All I know is it's a clown show over there now with injuries. It's a clown show. What the hell? Jogging out to center. I'm back. Hey, guys, everybody, I'm going to go play. Jogging out to your position, you can't even make it there.
It is the leg version of, as you mentioned, Jordan, where hey, take a couple hacks and see how. Oh, actually, my hand still hurts,
I can't.
So let's look at this further. We talked about it. Sean and I have talked about it quite a bit this year. That the winning has kind of smoothed over the silliness of how guys get hurt or don't get hurt and the evaluation of when they're hurt and if they're ready to go. The winning has made that. Let's push that into the background. But I don't know how many more times this can happen and you can still win ball games, because we pointed out the lineup and what it looks like in this series. And Jake Meyers shockingly enough, because of what he's done this year, was going to be an additive to that lineup. And now we don't know how long he's gone. Is he? And why is he back before the All-Star break? What was the rush? Yes, this series isn't going well, but the Mariners keep losing games, so who cares? Why is he back? Why didn't he just wait until after the All-Star break? Because that has been some weird thing with this organization. When we talk about the guys who've been hurt, there was talk maybe that Jeremy Pena would come back for the All-Star break. We'll just see how he feels. And, of course, they tried to get Yordan back before the All-Star break. Not that they'll be magically healthy after the All-Star break, but why? Why was there such a push to get these guys back? They weren't needed. This division is not something you need to be worried over. I don't get it.
Right. I don't either. And at least they're doing it right with Jeremy Pena. Just sit. It'll be interesting to see if Jeremy's going to play. I didn't hear any announcements yet whether or not he's going to play. It's up in the air whether or not Hunter Brown is going to pitch on Sunday.
He is going to pitch. They announced the rotation. Espada did after. He's going to pitch in that Ranger series.
I would imagine Hunter. I don't know that it's right. I don't know. It might be a day that Hunter's going to throw anyway on Tuesday. That he would throw. He could throw an inning. After he starts, maybe they're limiting the number of pitches that he's going to throw on Sunday. It is on 4 days rest, and usually they're going with a six-man rotation a lot. They're going with a six-man rotation, but it is on his regular rest, so that he pitches on Sunday. They like to go. They like a six-man rotation, but they're going to go with him on Sunday. It might be that he takes a day off and then he throws some. Maybe I don't know how hard he throws because he's going to throw hard in the All-Star game if he does pitch. I'm torn on it, because you want the kid to be able for sure. A lot of pitchers who pitch on Sunday won't pitch in the All-Star game. But this is an honor for him. His first All-Star appearance. That's great. It's awesome, and I hope he does well. I hope he pitches better than he did the other day. That's for sure. He probably wants to get back out there. He probably said, no. The team is more important than my All-Star appearance. I would imagine. If Joe went to him and said, hey, do you want to start the last game of the Texas series? He probably, I don't know, he probably said, absolutely. The team is much more important than the All-Star appearance. But it'll be interesting to see after pitching Sunday, depending on how many pitches he throws. If he goes seven, throwing 100 pitches, then it's up and down. I don't know that the Astros organization would want him throwing again on Tuesday. Especially as hard as he's going to have to throw in the All-Star game. So we'll see. We'll see how that all works out. But this is just – that was what a disastrous, disastrous return home. After they've been playing great at home, they were so awful for so long at home. And then they're playing great again at home. And then this series against Cleveland. You got Texas coming in now. Texas is, 10 back? They're a bad baseball team. Of course, the Guardians were a bad baseball team coming in here. So – who knows what's going to happen here. The Astros still have their 6.5 game lead, though, because Seattle sucks. So there is that. They are losing ground, though, in the American League. They were up to the point where just a couple of games back of Detroit, and there's still a lot of baseball to play. And they've got the easiest schedule ahead of them in the second half. So that's a positive. But and they're really, really good. But it's actually a negative because they play well against good teams and they play like crap against bad teams. That's the irony of your Astros this season. They play great against good teams and suck against the bad ones.
So just get to the playoffs where you're going to be playing good teams. No worries.
That's right. And watch it, Scooble. Okay.
Oh, don't do this again.
You know what's ahead for him.
Don't do it again, John. You and your, as people pointed out, your hubris with the Astros hasn't really worked since you said they'd come back after being like down 10 games. That worked out for you, but that has not. Since that point, you have failed the city and the Astros.
You know what's ahead for Scooble.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
Don't do it. That was awful. You did that, and he did what he did in that wild card series.
What did he do?
He shut the Astros down, is what he did.
Did he?
Yes.
Did he?
Yes.
Did he really?
Do we have to go back and look at the box score?
Did he really? Okay. The Astros, they just took a little break.
That's a poor time to take a break when your season's on the line.
It was poor timing all the way around. But that's our team. Maybe everyone was hurt, okay? You don't know.
No, I remember. They were all there.
Everyone was hurt.
There wasn't a Trammell in the lineup. There wasn't a Zach Short in the lineup during the playoffs.
No.
Kyle Tucker, he might as well have been hurt.
He must have been hurt because he sucked.
Well, he might as well have been. There was no difference.
He was terrible. Get rid of him. Oh, they already did, and they got Cam Smith and all-star Isak Paredes. We'll hear Joe Spada talking about Isak on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Just getting started if you want in, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. The ultimate mortgage hookup, okay, I got that number for you. All right, that is my man, Kent Jones, over at Dream Rate Mortgage. He is awesome. I love what Kent Jones does, and he is 30 years in the business. He's an expert on mortgages. He knows how to get you into, especially that first mortgage. There's a lot of incentive out there from the government for you to buy your first home. Okay, and Kent Jones knows all the hacks and all of the ways that you can save thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. And he does that every single day. 713-520-5626. He's got all the hacks because he's been doing this forever. He knows. He gets you the insurance agent, the survey, the title. Are you doing all this? No. Okay. Kent Jones is going to do that. He can find you. He can even find you a buyer's agent that will rebate part of their commission. What buyer's agent does that? Well, Kent Jones finds them. Okay, he is going to find the perfect loan for you that is going to save you as much money as possible on that loan. You're looking for the best way to get that mortgage. Brokers are just better. In this business, brokers are better. Usually they're not. Brokers are better in the mortgage game. 713-520-5626.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
No Lance today, Dell is in for him. A reminder, not Dan Holden just was tweeting me, what's the date of your draft? AJ's probably going to have to work with that one because Mapes is going to be with us. Dell, me, and Lance will all be in Lake Charles. I think it's August 28th. Is that right, Dell? Is that when the draft is?
Yes, I believe. Yeah, so we'll do the giveaway stuff getting later in July. But, yeah, we'll be there August 28th.
Starting next week, I think we're giving away spots, right? Next Thursday? Every Thursday?
From what I'm reading right now, it says we're going to start doing that July 24th.
Oh, 24th.
Yeah.
In 2 weeks.
Yeah.
2 weeks we'll start giving out. So we're going to have a fantasy league, and it's going to be at the Golden Nugget, and you're going to get a room, you're going to get food, we'll have the draft, you get drinks. It's going to be great. Four people are going to win, and each one of you gets to bring a buddy, right? And so you're going to have, it'll be good. It's going to be fun. So we want you to keep on listening. Starting July 24th, we'll be giving away spots in our fantasy draft.
It'll be every Thursday between July 24th and August 14th. We're going to be doing it a couple different ways, whether it be here on the show or maybe some social media stuff as well. And like you said, four people will get a chance to win. They'll be able to bring someone with them. So, and you get to hang out at the Golden Nugget while we do the shows. And obviously, you guys can have all the fun you want because Golden Nugget's a great place. Two-night stay at the Golden Nugget. I guess that'll be that Thursday and Friday.
And I asked you who you would bring, and your best friend, Mapesy, is already coming, so you don't have anybody to bring if you won.
I mean, bring someone, but I'm just not going to announce it to you on the show.
No, who would, okay.
You mean a famous person, who would I bring?
No, who would you, I said I would bring Jesus if I won, but
which is impossible.
He's not available.
Well, he's available, I just don't think he's going to.
Well, he's here, he's living with me.
Jesus is all around us, yes.
He is all around us. AJ? Okay, AJ, if you want a spot in a fantasy in our fantasy league, who would you bring with you?
Dang, Jesus is a pretty good one, but like Dell said, he is everywhere. So,
yeah, he's already there. Mm-hmm. Who would you bring? Do you have a best friend, BFF?
Don't incriminate yourself.
Oh, I can't incriminate myself. I mean, I'm single, so okay. I mean, probably just a random friend. Yeah,
just a random friend.
Yeah,
rando. You just bring rando with you?
Well, a random good friend, like you know.
He doesn't have a name in mind, but it would be someone that he knows that he's a good friend with.
Thank you, Doug.
Yeah, that's all. That's all I'm saying, yeah. Lance.
I would probably bring Jesus or Lance with me.
Well, Lance, you don't need to bring Lance. He's already going to be there with his own random
Jesus
friend.
Is with me. Jesus is always with me.
You need to pick a different person or entity.
Yeah.
Jesus is always with you, and Lance will be there anyway. You got that, you got to find a different choice.
Yeah, I would bring my wife.
Bring your son. Who knows? JT,
but she sucks at fantasy football.
Well, bring JT with you.
JT, there. JT.
I don't know why I have to go through
Frankie
your life and find the right
more.
Person. Yeah, Frankie's not going to want to hang out and draft with you, would she?
Frankie would party more, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's for sure. And Steffi. She'd bring the baby in.
Yeah, it's got the husband. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on there. Yeah,
it'd be tough to draft. The baby would be, all
over. How would a baby deal with all the stimulation from the DraftKings Sportsbook?
Oh, my God. The baby would love it. The baby would love it.
All the TVs.
Oh, yeah. Stuff all going on all over. Yeah, but she'd want Miss Rachel on all the TVs.
That's a
problem.
Not
sports.
Yeah, that's a problem for the rest of us, yeah.
Right. She would want... Some of the shows now for these kids are they're getting worse and worse and worse and worse. I mean, the stupidity of some of these shows is just ridiculous. Not Miss Rachel per se, but some of the other ones. Some guy that he's acting like Pee Wee Herman. I forget his name, but he's like a Pee Wee Herman type
knockoff. A Pee Wee Herman knockoff.
He acts like him. It's just terrible. I imagine that's what our parents thought about Pee Wee. What the hell? This is what these kids watch right now?
Yeah, I was raised by. I wasn't raised by live action Pee-wee. It was a lot of cartoons. Just plop you in front of a TV and watch the Batman animated series or Spider-Man or something like that. That's what I was raised on.
I was raised on Gilligan. Gilligan taught me all my morals. Yep.
Thinking back to that show, because when you say it taught you all your morals, did Gilligan ever say spin around? Ginger, did he ever say that to...
No, but I did.
I know you did.
I did when I was watching it. That's where I learned that.
I'm just trying to figure out, did the professor say that at any point, or did you...
Professor, no. The professor was oblivious to all the advances.
Yes, he was.
I mean, which was just incredible. How he didn't know Ginger was hitting on him. What a nerd. I mean, talk about nerdy.
And you were a Ginger guy over a Marianne guy.
I mean, come on, honestly.
What? I don't know. Someone likes the nice brunette. Okay, there it is.
Okay. That's the dumbest thing. Oh, Ginger. No, no. And Bailey wasn't better than, what was her name?
I don't know what show you're talking about right now.
WKRP in Cincinnati.
Lonnie Anderson is who you're
talking
about?
Lonnie Anderson, yeah.
Okay.
Bailey was not better. Stop, okay? Lonnie Anderson was Lonnie Anderson.
I'm looking at Bailey right now. Jan Smithers, is that her name? I could get it. I mean, I get why people might. You want to be different a little bit. Hey, you know what? I'm not a Lonnie Anderson. I'm a Jan Smithers guy, I guess. Everyone likes a zig.
Yeah, okay. I get that from some people.
I mean, I would have to do some research, Sean. WKRP really isn't in my wheelhouse, so I'll do some research and come back to you and tell you whether I'm a Jan Smithers guy or a Lonnie Anderson
or
guy.
Or a Ginger or Marianne guy or a, yeah, I mean, honestly, be honest about it.
Okay. I'll take a look.
Lonnie was pretty curvy now, okay? I think she might be more in your wheelhouse.
You guys always like to think with what I like, but okay, I'll take a look. I'll have an answer for you. Maybe give me the weekend. Let me do some research, and I'll give you an answer.
Do some research and get back to us.
Yeah. Who are you, AJ? Me and AJ will actually find out what WKRP is, and then tell you if it's Lonnie or Jan Smithers. Thanks for that. John, I know you're in front of a lot of TVs right now. Are you going to be locked in on Wimbledon? There's an American in the semifinals. I mean, we had an American, Ben Shelton, get knocked out, so that story's over. His sister can go back and work at Morgan Stanley. I know Lance is into
it. Lance was on him.
He's betting all the time. You can see him reacting during breaks to a point. You can see him pumping his fist or not. I don't know. Tennis, it's not for me. I guess I'm not an individual sports guy.
I don't know enough about it to bet on it. I just don't. All right. I don't know the game. There's a guy, like you said, five star, makes a living betting on women's tennis. Yeah, well, you got to watch a lot of women's tennis, and I ain't doing that, so I'm out. I'm out on that. I don't watch a lot of tennis, period. Wimbledon is cool, and it's a good, it's a nice story. We got America there, and that's
great.
Yeah,
we're well represented this time around. We have an American in semifinals in the men and women's.
Yeah. You know, it seems like every general – no. Is Djokovic the greatest ever? He's made his 14th semifinal now at Wimbledon, which is a record. Is he the greatest of all? Because it seems like every time somebody retires, oh, he was the greatest ever. Oh, he was the greatest ever. No, he was the greatest ever. But I think Djokovic might be the greatest ever, right?
Well, much like you said before, I don't know enough. I don't know the stats for Federer or Nadal to really have an informed opinion. I know he was – is he the one who's least liked of the top three?
Probably.
Yeah, the one that no one wants to put up there because they don't like him very much for reasons. I can't say because I don't know all that the other guys have done. I know that my entire life it has been Federer and Nadal and then Djokovic. Now that those guys have since retired or at least are not as prominent as he is now, so I guess he's certainly top three, right? Is he a top three player of all time? At least at minimum.
And is he all just disliked because he didn't want to get vaccinated?
I think there's that and other stuff. I think his personality is one that rubs people the wrong way. From what I remember people having an issue with him before COVID. So I just remember him not being, as far as those three were concerned, the other two being more liked than he was. And that was even before COVID. I'm sure the COVID thing didn't help.
Turns out he might have been right about that whole vaccine thing. Might have been right. But that's another story for another day. Right now, I'm talking about Game Day Men. Speaking of health, speaking of getting shots, Game Day Men's Health. Game Day Men's Health is the place to get your testosterone on. Game Day Men's, I'm going to be there next week. I get back in town. I'm going to get my you can take them with you. You can take your testosterone shots with you and give them to yourself. I do that because I'm here, and it's tough to get back and forth, obviously. There's not Game Day Men's Health out here, and I want to deal with Game Day Men's Health because I just think they're better at it. I just think that they're more attentive. I think they care more. If when you go get your testosterone shots, are you at what seems like an assembly line? Get in, here's your shot, beat it, get out, give us your money, and get out. Same thing every week, and you don't feel like, it doesn't matter. If you feel like you're gaining, you know, your goals, if you're heading toward your goals or not heading toward your goals, let's just get you in and out of there as quickly as possible and get that money. That ain't the way they do it at Game Day Men's Health. I mean, they are so attentive to all of your needs and what you are doing and your goals. What are your goals? What do you want to do? Do you want to get stronger? Do you want to get thinner? Do you want to get better focus, sexually active, whatever it is? Game Day Men's Health is here for you. 11 locations around the city. They're awesome. You're looking for the best way to get that testosterone. I think they're better. I've been doing this for a while now, and I know the difference. GameDayMen'sHealth.com. Tell them you heard it right here. GameDayMen'sHealth.com.
John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. So this is the time when all the coaches, the summer press conferences about different from different conferences, they all meet wherever, in somewhere that's nice. And so that the coaches get to play golf and have fun during these Big 12 conferences or SEC or whatever. So these next few weeks you'll be hearing a bunch of sound bites. Well, the Big 12 got together, and here's Dion. He had something interesting to say, and see if you agree or disagree, though, with what Dion had to say about a salary cap for college football.
And, Brian, you were talking about it during your presser about NIL and what these players deserve and how the game is modified to that point. From where you sit, doing it at the highest level in the NFL, how do you believe NIL should be guardrailed now, especially with the revenue sharing?
I wish it was a cap. You know, like the top of the line player makes this, And if you're not that type of guy, you know you're not going to make that. That's what the NFL does. So the problem is you got a guy that's not that darn good, but he could go to another school and they give him $500,000, and you can't compete with that. That don't make sense. And you're talking about equality, not equality, like equal, I guess it was equality. And all you have to do is look at the playoffs and see what those teams spent. And you understand darn near why they're in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to compete with somebody who's giving $25, $30 million to a darn freshman class.
Right.
It's crazy. We're not complaining because all these coaches up here can coach their butts off and give them the right opportunity with the right players and play here and there, you'll be there. But it's what's going on right now don't make sense. And we want to say stuff, but we're trying to be professional. But you're going to see the same teams darn near at the end and with somebody who sneaks up in there. But the team that pays the most is going to be there in it. So
salary. Now, is it – aren't we – we're heading towards $25 million for each team, right?
For the top of the line? Sure.
Yeah.
Because if you want to win, and he laid it out, that – paying is going to matter quite a bit. It's always mattered. I mean, but now that we're open to talk about it and coaches are open to talking about it, it determines who has the best roster. Recruiting is one thing, but there's always the big hammer of NIL. Or at least it used to be a brown bag or we have a duffel bag of money you're handing to someone or a promise of a job for a family member. Now you have NIL and the guys who can spend will win, and the guys who don't will always be behind. As far as the salary cap, anything, I guess, to put guardrails on the coaches, because I know sometimes it's positioned as we need guardrails because a player, as you heard him say, will ask for $500,000 when he's not that good. There's nothing that says you have to give him the money. It's just the adults in the room can't control themselves. They've never been able to, and now you need a governing body or a rule in place to make them, I guess, act right, because they won't do it themselves. NIL is only a problem, at least in my eyes, because the people who are supposed to be the ones that understand and are the adults aren't that, because the pressure to win means more than anything. And
yeah.
And if one guy's doing it, then I got to do it too to keep my job.
Absolutely. Well, listen, I get paid more if I win. I win if I've got better players. It's it. And I'll do whatever it takes. I'll pay them so that I get paid.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
But there's got to be some. And of all people to be talking about a salary cap, it's Deion, right? The guy who sold his wares in the NFL to every. How many teams did he go for the money? He just went wherever he could. Played within the rules, obviously. But, dude, you know, he was gun for hire. He didn't care. He had no loyalty to any organization. It was, where are you going to pay me?
Yeah, so, and you know, he picked advantageous spots where he could win as well. But yeah, the money played a huge factor. That was back when the NFL didn't have a salary cap or was much more lax. I forgot exactly how it was back in the mid-90s for him, because I remember his going back between the Cowboys and the 49ers. Yeah, I don't think he's wrong on much of anything he said. I always kind of bristle at the positioning of the player's not that good, but he's asking for the money. Well, you guys can always just say no, but you know that someone else won't, so you give in. Maybe the coaches need to hold themselves more accountable than anything else, and until they do that, or until someone forces them to, we're going to have these problems.
Well, they're not. Listen, we talk so much about, but the coaching carousel, the coaches actually started all this. The amount of money that coaches are paid while the players are sitting there killing themselves, working for 50, and because the coaches, if the coaches weren't reined in, they would put the kids out there for 60, 70 hours a week. They would be working them. Some of the coaches would, and not for nothing, they get a scholarship. I get that. But the disparity of the coaches' pay and what the players receive, it was ridiculous, and the coaches got greedy. And now you got 12, 15 guys, 20 guys on staff that are making really nice money, and all these kids are busting their ass and not getting anything. It was wrong. It was wrong. It was just flat out wrong. And now coaching staffs are getting cut because they can't afford it, because they got to pay players, oh, wait a minute. Oh, so the players are getting in and the coaches not, are not anymore, and now there's bitching about that, right? So there needs to be, but somebody has to be an adult and step up and put there's got to be a cap for this. There's got to be a cap. Did you see Rob Manfred said, I think it was yesterday, he said, we're looking for a salary cap in baseball. Good luck.
Yeah.
Baseball is, well, Donald Fear is no longer there, but they have had the strongest players union in any sport ever. That's why there's so many stoppages in baseball.
Yeah, they're willing to go to the wall.
They go to the mat.
Yeah, they don't mind doing things that in ways hurt the sport just so they get what they want. Yeah, it's my entire life, the baseball players have always been the ones that rarely have ever given. You look at basketball with what's going on with the current CBA. A lot of people point to like CJ McCollum for what he's done to affect how much his guys can earn. And in the NFL, probably second on the list as far as strength of the union, but baseball clears them both by a wide margin.
Yeah. Yeah, baseball has been that has been, and it's to the detriment of the game where there were stoppages and but you know what? That union stayed strong. The players need something. The players need representation. The NCAA or whatever governing body needs to take control of this thing. You got college football is still great. I was just watching Feinbaum a little while ago. Is this a problem? No, we love college football. We still love college football. Unfortunately, now there's so much more. It's getting more like college basketball in that the rosters turn over so quickly. People hate that. Oh, it's the ruination. No, it's still great. There's still 80,000-100,000 people in stands every week. We still love the game. But now the players are just doing it for money. Well, before, what were they doing it for before? By the way, those teams that are spending more now, the Alabamas and the Michigans and the Ohio States and the Florida States and the Floridas and LSUs, they used to spend more before. They spent more than everybody before, too, okay? Be it on coaching staffs and players under the table. They did. And they're still spending more. And there's a reason that the best teams, the blue chip programs, our blue chip programs, is because they've always spent more. And they're still doing it. But if you he might have a point. Can Colorado compete with Alabama?
No,
absolutely not.
No, even with the influx of attention that Deion's brought and the money he's brought in, no, they can't compete with Alabama. And you think about it, Colorado at a point in their history was really good. You talk about the national title. Now we're going back, 35 years or so now, back to the 90s, early 90s. And, more recently, the Chris Brown, the running back, led that team who beat up on Nebraska. They've had some good teams, but no, consistently, they could go. Maybe they'll have a two-three-year run where they're pretty good, but they can't win over a decade because they can't spend the money that Alabama does. And I agree with your point that the games themselves are great. College football is great. I think the off-season topics or the ones that have nothing to do with that with football, the game of football, can be bothersome to people. But for the most part, because of how it's built, because my grandpa went to Tennessee and my dad did, and I'm going to go. Those Saturdays in the fall when you can show up, whether you're going on the road or going to Knoxville or watching the game at home, more than anywhere else, the helmet and the jersey matters and the name on the front matters. So as long as Tennessee football is alive and well, Tennessee people will always care and always love it. And then for us, because we are in this bubble where we're always talking about sports in this way, the NIL stuff, the recklessness of the coaches, that stuff can be bothersome for the sport. But once the games kick off, it's football, and then people love watching football.
Yep, and it's getting more like college basketball in that the guys are one and done. They're not really part of the programs. They're just there as a stepping stone. And you know what? College football is more of that. It used to be college football. You knew your guy was there for 3 years. Yep. At least, and he was going to play, right? And you got to know him a little bit. Oh, well, you know what? Pay him and he'll stay. If he's on the field and you're paying him, he'll stay there. Now, hey, I think there's been some lessons learned here, right? I can't ever pronounce his name, Tennessee quarterback.
Nico Iamaliava.
Iamaliava, right. Did he learn a lesson? Is that a lesson learned for all young quarterbacks? Look what happened to him. Look what he did. And look how he screwed this thing up, screwed the pooch. Because that'll happen. Sure, there's plenty of guys who are going out there and transferring and making money, doing it well. That is a lesson learned, though, for a lot of young guys. Hey, sometimes it's okay where you're at and what you're getting.
Yeah, so, he didn't get the type of deal he wanted from Tennessee, and he didn't get the type of deal, that deal from UCLA. Speaking of teams who don't play in the same field of like SEC teams, UCLA, as much as they're kind of glamorous because of where they're located, they're not a team or a program that does or will do what a Tennessee will do to keep a guy. So he wound up at UCLA. Now he's back in Southern California, so I'm sure that's nice for him. But as far as what he was looking for, asking for, no, he lost. He lost on that one, and now he's looked at as the first major college quarterback. It happened at UNLV, but that was more because they didn't pay him, period. They didn't keep their promises. First major college quarterback to dip out on his team because of NIL. So he'll have that label, and the only way he washes that away is by playing well at UCLA with a much less talented roster.
Yeah, and listen, I'm here. I've been by there. UCLA, obviously where it is compared to Pasadena where they play, UCLA, that land is so expensive.
Yep.
Somebody went and interviewed for that job. He said their practice field is 80 yards.
I went there when my mom still lived in California. I just went to go see the facility. And, yeah, it's 80 yards. It's outside. Yeah, it's outside, so it's not even limited by being an indoor facility. It's just outside. It's not 100 yards. There's limited space, and they did what they could. It's kind of raised up a little bit off the ground and stuff, but they have a great facility as far as the building itself, but the football field, the one they use the most, from what I could tell, it's not regulation length.
They are not serious people. They're just not serious people as far as football goes. Just not. No, I don't care who the coach is. They're not going to – they're going to have a hard time winning there. All right, 713-780-3776, the number if you'd like to get in here. Whatever you want to talk about, you're more than welcome. I want to talk about Air Team. I want to talk about your air conditioner. I want to talk about, is it running properly? Is it – because if it's not right now – and, oh, by the way, this is what happens. Air Team, you know, is busy right now because there's so many people who didn't take advantage of them in the weather off season. The weather off season is when it's cooler out. That's when you should be taking care of your business, making sure that your air conditioner is running great so that when summer comes, it's ready for it. When it's running 24/7, your air conditioner is, because now breaking down because you're using it all the time, and Air Team has got to come, and it's not as good. Because you got to pay more because you got to replace your air conditioner because you didn't do anything about it. Don't let a malfunctioning AC hold you back from enjoying your life to its fullest. Air Team, you can rest easy knowing you're in good hands. Let them come and check your stuff out. And if it's already broken and it's not working, airteamltd.com. Either way, have it checked out or replace it. airteamltd.com, 713-936-5346, airteamltd.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, it's John and Dell along with AJ here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You guys got anything you want to talk about? You're more than welcome. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776, the number. If you would like to get in here with us, talk about anything. So, AJ, get the Joe Espada ready. We heard last week or earlier this week. When was it? It was over the weekend. Joe Espada announced the All-Star starters, or the guys who made the original team. Hunter Brown, Josh Hader, and Jeremy Pena. And he had something to say about each guy and made the announcement to the team, and that was really, really good. Well, Isak was named to the team. These are cool moments. Isak has been an all-star already. But this is kind of gives you an inside to what Joe thinks about each of these guys. Of course, a manager is going to love a guy who's playing at an all-star level. I guess that's a given. But you know, this is like anything else. He talks about, you know, I didn't know the guy. Now I do. And it's awesome. Here is Joe Espada telling the team that Isak is an all-star.
We knew this guy was a good player, but I did not know. Not only he's a great player, but he's an incredible human being. It was easy to welcome to our family because who he is, how genuine he is, how his humility, his love for the game, the way he plays the game. This guy is an incredible person. I'm honored to coach him every single day, and he's arguably one of the best third basemen in this game. On both sides of the ball. No doubt. All-star. Isak Paredes.
There you go, Isak. There you go. All right, he starts talking Spanish here, so AJ, people aren't going to understand.
I enjoyed Espada throwing a little flourish on Paredes. At the very, he was like, you know what? Yeah, I did all of this in English for all these other guys, but when I get to say your name, I'm gonna put on a little spice to make the announcement. Congratulations to Isak Paredes.
Paredes.
That trade
Isak
has worked out in a way that probably better than anyone would have thought. Wesneski aside in his injury, but that's an Astro pitcher thing, so we should have just expected that. But Cam Smith, Paredes. And, yeah, you had to get rid of Kyle Tucker because you weren't ever going to pay him. But Dana Brown made a trade, and it has worked out. And that's the issue with the Astros. You can do that. You're in a bit of a tough spot because you need to find value for your star right fielder that you're not going to pay. I'm sure you got offers, and you're combing the market. And you got great value. You've got Cam Smith in line to be Rookie of the Year. You got Paredes, an all-star. And then all the other nonsense that they can't get right. This Astro organization is very weird. You can get that right. You needed to get that right, and you got it right. Yeah, but you can't diagnose that Jake Meyers shouldn't be out there. What's the deal? I know it's two separate things, but the fact that they're both going on at the same time is wild to me.
Yeah, yeah. that it's neat. That's a neat moment. All of that stuff. The Jake Meyers thing
The problem is it's not the Jake Meyers thing. It's not the Jake Meyers thing. It's the Yordan thing. The Kyle Tucker thing from last year. It's all the things.
Every pitcher.
By the way, JP France, another guy they rushed back and still hasn't been able to pitch since that point. Still hasn't been able to pitch on the major league level since they rushed him back. So not only do they not diagnose things immediately, and then when guys are trying to recover, they push them back before they're ready, and then you get these situations. So there's just two things going on where they can find ways to win the roster, credit the roster for finding ways to make up for injuries, credit Dana Brown for making trades, and yet there's this other part of them. How good could they be if they could figure out the health stuff?
Mm-mm. It's a pinched nerve that turns into Tommy John. A pinched neck nerve that turns into Tommy John.
Yeah, it's Javier. Remember he had a neck issue? He slept wrong or something or whatever it was?
Right, and then Tommy John.
Then it was Tommy
what?
John.
What? Yeah. Oh, wow. Anyway, our Astros, they get swept. It was not a good series. Oh, well. After just what a great run. That was, honestly, as good a run as I can regular season run. Of course, they've had win streaks before, but to be playing first place teams like they did, good baseball teams, the Cubs, the Phillies, the Dodgers, the Dodgers sweeping them on the road for the first time since 2008, I mean, that'll tell you something about the way that they were playing. With this mishmash, with all of these, to be playing the way that they were, and then to come crashing down and lose three straight to a team that came in scoring a run and a half a game over a 10-game losing streak. It was just mind-boggling. Which is more surprising? The run that they had against the Phillies, the Cubs, and the Dodgers, or this series against the Guardians?
I would say the series against the Guardians. Look,
no,
the Guardians,
I wouldn't.
I would say no, because losing a game, I get. Like, the Guardians are due for winning one. They're on a 10-game losing streak. I get them finally winning a game. They were at some point going to win a game, and the odds are that they're not as bad as, well, I guess your record is what your record is, but they weren't as bad as the 10-game winning streak was letting on. At least we didn't think so coming into the season. So I get picking up a game. But losing all three? Losing all three games, even with how bad your lineup is, and the lineup actually wasn't the problem for the most part, it was your pitching, I find it surprising. I know the Astros are capable of beating good teams, even with their limited roster right now, because I've seen it over the course of a decade. So I'm not surprised by that. The organization has something foundationally in them that they step up. They'll step up and win games. Losing three to the Guardians is nuts. And by the way, let's add Ramirez to the Nick Kurtz category of regular season hecklers. Don't pitch that guy anymore.
Yeah, please stop. What if you want to know the truth, much more surprising was playing those teams with the mishmash of Zach Short, Taylor Trammell, Kennedy Corona, with, you know, Dubon playing with Brandon Walter, with Colton Gordon, with Ryan Gusto. To be playing against the best teams in baseball and winning like that, it's much less surprising to me that you got swept by the Guardians.
But right after you win it, sure, if you stack up the two things before we see them happen, then maybe. But after it happens and you win it, getting swept by the and win all those games, getting swept by the Guardians is nuts.
At some point, you have to pay the devil, okay?
And the Guardians were that comeuppance?
Yes.
That you have to get swept by them?
Okay.
Lose the series.
You want to beat all those teams? Watch this.
Look, if you want to lose the series to the Guardians, okay, that's disappointing. But, hey, that's just baseball, as you guys like to say. That's just baseball. But getting swept by them? Nuts.
Not to me. To me, it was
at home, by the way. At home, were you actually good at home? If it happens on the road,
you're 9-1.
Nah.
To me, that's nuts.
Sure,
that's nuts.
Going into it, yes, but once it happens, I'm more surprised by the Guardian thing because I saw them play well with the roster being as banged up as it was against the best teams in the NL. Once that happens, getting taken out by the Guardians over the course of a series, getting swept by them. Whatever, it's the Astros.
Okay,
it's fine.
Okay.
It's fine. Right. We'll be fine.
With Zach Short coming off of the series with the Dodgers had a 1700 OPS. You know who the real Zach Short is? The Ofer in the Cleveland series. That's the real Zach Short.
Well, tell it to yourself. You're the one calling him the best hitter on the Astros.
He's one of the great hitters in Astros.
See, you're still
history.
Doing it. So okay. You don't use that argument. You don't use Zach Short to support your argument when you were the one calling him the best player on the team.
Great. Zach Short, okay? Don't sell him short.
Sure, he appreciates that.
That is awful. Time to talk about Houston Powder Coaters, who are wonderful. Robin's wonderful. What they do is wonderful. What metal do you have that you're trying to save? Is it a wheel well? Is it a bumper? Is it an anchor on your boat? Is there anything metal? Is it your patio furniture? Because that's mainly the thing. We talk about patio furniture all the time. And that's the main thing right there, right? Do I save it or do I just buy new stuff? Well, Robin says much better to save whatever it is because that metal from older patio furniture is much better than the new metal. It's just better. The metal is not as good as it was. It's just not. That's today, okay? It's not. I don't know if it's because of tariffs. I have no idea why the metal is not as good. All I know is it's not as good, and you should save whatever you can. And there might be some sentimental value to whatever patio furniture that you have. Maybe it was mom's. Maybe it was, I don't know, maybe it's been passed down for generations. That would be cool. How neat is that? You want to save old stuff? Houston Powder Coaters. That's what they do. So Robin will tell you whether or not she can save it or whether or not you got to buy new stuff. She's going to be honest with you. But the job that they do is second to none. You will love it. You see it all over, even though you don't know it. You're seeing Houston Powder Coaters work all over the place. Houston Powder Coaters. You need to save something metal. HoustonPowderCoaters.com. Tell Robin you heard it right here.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.